There's a presentation given yesterday of the gentleman from CSIRO, and I'm not CSIRO, the Australian gentleman. I'm not going to try to pronounce his name. But he mentioned that the Australian, there's 39 gins in Australia. They produce about 4 to 4.5 million bales of cotton annually. If you look at the aggregate, that's over 100,000 bales per gin. And in 2015, there'll be 41 gins in Australia, but you're still looking at that large amount of cotton. And these gins are challenged to get that cotton gin and processed in around 100 days. He also mentioned that, I'm not sure what the term was he used, but these are high-capacity gins. I call them ultra-high-capacity gins. And these are gins that have broken through that 60-second glass ceiling. They're cycling, one gin cycles a bale every 40 seconds. And if you do the math, that's 90 bales an hour. And I know Kyle Talbert's gin in Texas, he cycles around 43 seconds. So that's 84 bales an hour. So it's the trend in Australia. Everything's moving that way, has been that way for a while. But it's also a trend that you see here in the U.S. There's some challenges that are associated with these high-capacity gins. One of them is in 40 seconds or 43 seconds is getting 500 pounds of lint into the press. And another challenge is being able to do that and maintain some reasonable bale weights when it's all said and done. Because if you look at the charge sizes, they're getting huge. We're talking 80 pounds. Some of these charges approach 100 pounds. So you can get a swing one way or the other of some very, very fairly significant differences as far as bale weights go. So my presentation is going to address that. And we call, my presentation is titled HSVS. It's a high-speed variable stroke tramper. Little background. This tramper came out of the technology developed with the Savannah-class press. And the Savannah-class press had a variable stroke tramper. And we did lint pre-compression. Now, it's very important on that press because the box on that press is only 60 inches tall. Now, I'm no giant, but I mean, 60 inches I can see over the top of that. And these boxes had, these press boxes had no dogs. So we had to go through pre-compression just to be sure the lint would stay in the box. Now, to do this, we went to constant compression every stroke. So the strokes varied on this tramper, but the compression stayed the same for every stroke. And then by virtue of this constant pre-compression, we were able to eliminate the retaining dogs. The controls for this press were PC-based because we needed really quick response times, and PLCs at the time didn't provide that. Basically, that technology at that time was just too slow. And also, we used linear transducers. This was about 10 years ago, and as far as I know, this is the first time that these linear transducers were used on trampers or presses in the ginning industry. They were externally mounted transducers, but they gave us the ability to know the location of that tramper everywhere throughout that stroke, and that was extremely critical in order to be able to control and to be able to maintain bale weight. Because since we were going to constant compression, we couldn't use that as our process variable for setting the bale weights. Conventional trampers go to consistently the same stroke every stroke. And what they use is a difference in pressure to determine the bale weight. So your first charges, you have less force, you go to the same place, you put more cotton in, the force increases. As the load increases, there's a preset that the gin determines, and that preset's where the bale is cut. That's because your pressure or your load changes. On this tramper, that load's the same every time. So that was the challenge, and our solution was to come up with a platen separation, to use the platen separation as our determining factor for bale weight. And we could measure that separation because we used the linear transducers. The technology was patented in 2009. This is a copy of the patent. So where are we today with this HSVS? Well, this technology that was introduced with the Savannah-class press has been carried forward. But this tramper cylinder strokes are the key, or one of the keys to this technology. The latest model that we're working with, and it's actually the current one we're working with, uses 134-inch stroke, 5-inch bore cylinder, and we're able to go to as high as 22.5 tons force on this tramper. So the idea is to go to maximum force, or we can go to maximum force at full stroke. The linear transducers that we use now are internal to the cylinders. Greg Fickwit, in his presentation yesterday, he mentioned that, and I believe Steve touched on it a minute ago. But the transducers are what give us the ability to monitor position, and they also allow us to eliminate the need for proximity switches and mechanical switches external to the tramper. If you're concerned about robustness, we have one in Australia that's approaching 5 million cycles with no issues. So the repeatability is good, and they are robust units. The cylinders are a little bit more expensive because the transducer is mounted inside the cylinder. Another thing we've done, we use an access controller to receive the inputs from the transducer and the pressure transmitters. The original technology, as I mentioned, was an industrial PC because the PLCs at the time couldn't handle the scan time. This access controller actually takes over much of the duty, or most of the duty, that the PLC normally does. So that relieves the PLC to do the other peripheral critical functions for the press. And these access controllers do just basically all the controlling of the tramper. Now, with this HSVS, the pressure trumps position. Pressure trumps position. Now, initial strokes of the tramper are full strokes. I mentioned that earlier. Because of that, especially on long stroke trampers, we depend on the HS part, or the high speed, because we need high speed to offset the time required to get through these long strokes. Now, once the max pressure is reached, each subsequent stroke is short, or it's equivalent to the previous stroke. Okay? The strokes vary, but each stroke is shorter or equivalent to the previous stroke. And then we determine bell, when we have a bell, by where the tramper is in the box, not by pressure and not by motor load. This graphic right here explains it in a little bit better detail. This is basically a script for an 80 bell per hour tramper at 5% moisture, and the compressive force is set at 1,000 psi. So if you look at this, starting on the left-hand side, this is your first stroke of the tramper. Now, this is a 134-inch stroke tramper. We used 130 inches of the stroke. Actually, DeWitt tells me it was 125, but it's in that range. So the first stroke is full stroke, okay? If you look over here at the box, this is your follow block down here. This is the top of the follow block. This is the maximum stroke. So this is the region where the lint is compressed to. So our first charge comes in, it's put in this region here, and I've gone to full stroke. I receive another charge, and this is my next stroke, goes to the same point. The reason is I'd never reached that 1,000 PSI preset. Third stroke, same thing. But the fourth stroke, if you look at that, I'm short of that. And the reason for that is at this point, I've got enough resistance in here that my tramper's hasn't really backed out. It just hasn't gone as far in the box. All right. Next stroke, even less, because I hit 1,000 here. Next stroke here. And then my final stroke, which is 7 strokes, that's when I have a bell. Now, as that tramper foot enters what I refer to as a position window, the lint finger runtime is optimized. Let me see if I can go back to that slide. What I'm calling a position window is this region right in here. Remember, I've got a linear transducer. I know where this tramper is at all times. So I'm backing out of the box. I'm not going in as far. I'm getting up to this region where I'm close to being ready to make a bail. Now, I have no way of knowing that by reading, looking at pressure or load, because I'm going to this constant pressure every stroke. But I know just by virtue of where that foot is, and I'm close to having a bail. So I call that a position window. And at this point, we vary the lint feeder runtime. So basically what we're doing is we're metering the final charges of lint into the box. And the reason for that is so that we can approximate or get close to that desired bail weight. Remember what I first said, at 40 seconds, you're on a, let's say 12 stroke a minute tramper. 40 seconds, you're really struggling to get 7 strokes a bail. Well, if you do the math there, you're looking at 70, 80, and probably 100 pounds on the first few charges. But when you start getting near the end, you're looking at 70 pounds, 60 pounds. You could swing either way. But what we're doing, when we get to that position, now we start to vary the feed into the press. So we have a way of trimming that weight just by varying the speed of the lint feeder. Now, that force and position can be automatically adjusted for trimming to get to the bail weight just by taking moisture and feeding it back into the control. And I see I'm already out of time. Can we go a little bit longer?
Yeah.
Okay. A graphic here, this is a pretty simple graphic. Basically what I'm showing is platen separation versus strokes as a function of pressure. So on what you're seeing here is you're seeing this is modeled at 800 PSI to 1500 PSI. We were at 1,000 on that graphic a minute ago, 7 strokes. So basically what you're looking at is 1, 2, 3 strokes. You're at 40 inches, and as you put more cotton in, it goes to about 70 inches. So you're looking at about a 30-inch difference in platen separation. This platen separation and force can be modeled to a particular press. Variables for this model are production rate, moisture content, cylinder bore, cylinder stroke, box length, and box size. So it's modeled for any particular type of press. Again, I mentioned earlier, high speed is critical, and that's to be able to maintain the bail weights. And I mentioned a model, and it's a model with multiple scripts, and this is just one of the scripts from that particular model. And this particular script is for 5% moisture, 1500 PSI, and you see a very similar graph of strokes and where the foot ends up. The actual model is modeled for 2 to 8% and 1% moisture increments. Is modeled for pressure from 8 to 1500 PSI. And again, the effective stroke of this cylinder was 130-inch stroke. And this is just a screenshot from an operating tramper showing you basically the same thing. In this case, we had 8 strokes. You're looking at, this is 5. They went to full stroke, 6, 7, and 8. And this mimics the model that we created. So in conclusion, this is set in stage for some future bailing technology. It was designed for high production, but it's also designed to have bail weight confidence in mind. And this simple access controller really makes a difference when it comes to controls. By using an access controller, we got away from relying on the PLC. And this access controller can control multiple axes, not just the tramper, but the pusher as well. That, I'd like to thank my co-authors, DeWitt Beelan, Daniel Riggs, and Ross Rutherford, and a special thanks goes out to Kent Fountain, the Southeastern Gin at Certainty, Georgia. Apologize for running long.
Got a question.
Any questions?
Got a question. It sounds like the variable stroke is very dependent on moisture. Is there a method to have some sort of feedback or interface with some sort of measuring system to, is that what you would do?
Yeah, I actually mentioned that, but I got to going so fast I glossed over it. But to close the loop, we can take that moisture feedback from the scales or from the moisture, basically it should be anybody's moisture monitor, and plug that back into a basically a table. and we can use that to incrementally trim, automatically trim that bell weight based on what that final moisture is.
Real time.
Yeah, and we can vary the that window, or we can vary pressure. Okay. Either one, based on whatever that feedback is from the moisture. We are the lint. What we call lint feeder, belt feeder. In the case of this press where we did where most of this data came from, the lint feeder is just a double drum feeder. It's no belt, no rollers. It's just a double drum feeder, and we use a VFD to drive it. And so we vary those last. And again, you got to think about this. 40 seconds, 7 strokes is a, and that's fast. That's a tramper stroke in every 5 seconds. So we get down, we vary basically the last 2 strokes. And and it's all based on that position window. Any other questions?
Joe, the consistency of bale weight compared to traditional tramper. Same, better, worse?
Well, that really depends on your production rate. The whole idea is at these high rates. Well, to answer your question, it's as good or better.
Okay.
But, you know, I can stand up here and say that all day long, but I don't have anything to show you to verify that. All I can tell you is we're varying those final charges because we're trying to get or at least maintain what we can currently do on a press that runs 40, it's running 45 bells an hour. But we're running 90 bells an hour. We're running 84 bells an hour. And well, that's basically what we're doing. And really, you don't want to go any deeper into the box than you have to go. But on a press, a deep box press with no dogs, you got a lot of room to play with. So in that case, you'd go for a lower pressure. I was at 1,000 PSI. We can run at 800 PSI on this particular press. On a press like your press, which is a short box press with dogs, we'd be running in the upper end. Pressure would be much higher on it. But we would go even further into the box than you currently do. We do that just so, for one reason, to get rid of the dogs. That's one of the benefits. The original research we did was being able to eliminate press dogs because they're a maintenance nightmare and create wads. And we're able to do that. But, you know, it takes compressive force, and it takes a longer stroke tramper. And that's where the high speed comes in. It's got to be fast. It's got to be powerful. And you have to be able to know where that tramper is at all times. Anything else? Thank you.